So tonight, we're going to be in the book of Luke, and I'd like to invite you over to chapter 10 of Luke. So we're going to start there. And tonight, I'm going to lead you up, start you out, and then we're going to finish up in two different places. But tonight, I'm going to talk about something I've been leading on for many times in teaching Sunday school the past month. We're talking about grace. And the title tonight is Grace, Pay It Forward. So in Luke 10, it says in verse 25 where we start off, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Let me pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word that we carry around each and every day with us. And we know there's many that don't have that. We just pray that you would use me tonight, use these words, that we would carry this. This is a truth to be part of our daily routine. Pray that we would embody that for you, that others may know the love that you have for them through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've been in Sunday school last month, February, you know, we recently covered this in our adult Sunday school class. And you know, and we could also consider that the adult equipping hour if you don't like school. You know, people, they get in a bad rap about school. We don't call it Sunday school. Okay, we're going to equip you to be adults and biblical. But you should join us because this is where a lot of this comes from. And Tom's teaching in March, so come and join Tom. But really, what do we have here? So we have Jesus was asked, how could you inherit eternal life? Jesus responding by asking him, what is written in the law and how do you understand it? And then the lawyer responded by saying to love God and love thy neighbor. And Jesus then gave feedback and indicated he was right. And you know, in Sunday school, we talked about that, you know, these being two of the greatest commandments, right? Love God, love your neighbor, end of story. That's all it takes. And in fact, when Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, the lawyer really understood the key part. You know, he did. If we jump to 37, we see that's true because, and he said, and this is the lawyer responding after the tale of this Good Samaritan, and he said, "He that shewed mercy on him," then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So he understood what it meant to be a good neighbor. It meant to show mercy. To show mercy is to show love. And you know, what is mercy? You know, we talk about having mercy and really what it is. It's not getting what you rightfully deserve. It's being shown compassion and forgiveness when you deserve contempt and punishment. And love, sadly today, very sadly, our country has a very great lack of love. It's more about hate and division. But how do we show love to our neighbor? How do we show love to a complete stranger? And while we just saw an example of Jesus telling the lawyer to show mercy to a stranger, I would have you see another way. There's an additional way to show love to a stranger. And I'm gonna give credit where credit's due, and embarrass her. I've been blessed with a smart, loving, beautiful wife who is a very great spiritual asset to me in my life as well. And even though I'm thick at times, I can be very thick, I'm starting to see the message or what she's been sending me for a couple years now, if not longer, that's finally got in me. And I hear this, have grace. I hear that a lot now. Have grace. That is what I hear when I'm not giving what I should. You see, mercy is about not getting something you deserve. It's not getting something you deserve. But grace is getting something that you didn't deserve. So like mercy is a withholding of that which you really don't want to have. But grace is getting that something that wasn't coming to you in the first place, but you're sure glad you're going to get it. You know, it's like, have you ever turned down a bonus at work? I doubt it. Did you deserve it? I won't say you doubt it, but you probably did. But we don't turn down good things. But, you know, what does it mean to have grace? You have it or give it, right? And really what we're saying is, and I hear that, have grace, or give grace. It means giving your neighbor something that they don't deserve, right? So, I mean, what is that? And what is that grace you give? And what I hear when I hear have grace is that how about you give them a little bit of love? Or how about you afford them a little bit of patience? How about you look on them with a little bit of compassion? Or how about you think about giving them a little kindness? How about having temperance? I like to have that one. Governing your passion, because that's going to be my biggest struggle. But it sounds like fruit, doesn't it? It sounds like fruit. And it is. It's fruit of the Spirit. You know, so whenever my temperance, and what I like, the reason I wanted to say temperance, is even though that's in the Bible, is that governing passion, that's where I'm glad for that little spiritual asset in my life that whispers in my ear, have grace. Because when my temperance starts to run thin, I let my emotions and I let my passion direct me in how I not only treat others, but how I feel about others. Even if I don't come in contact with them, how I look at them. But I still hear this voice. Have grace. You know, my wife's voice in my ear. You know, and what she is saying, have grace, is give them something they don't deserve. When you let your emotions run wild, when you let your passions get away from you, just calm, stop, and have grace. What she's really saying is you need to love them. You need to show them the love through giving of yourself. Give them something. Let the fruit come from you. Allow the Spirit to have control of your life in that moment, to have that grace. And let's look at Luke 23. I wanted to jump to Luke 23 because we're talking about grace. And if we look at Luke 23, starting in 39 through 43. And it says, Luke 23:39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And realize, he said unto Jesus, Lord. He recognized him as Lord. Remembering me when thou comest in. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And this is kind of one of my favorite events in the Bible. Maybe I'm just going to cling to it a little bit. It's one of my favorites because there's pieces to it. And I'm going to put another piece on it tonight and kind of tie this up together, where I want to talk about grace and what grace is and what grace you have to give to others. But, you know, being raised as a Lutheran, a big part, you know, when you're raised Lutheran, you're told baptism is your salvation event. It's your act. The act of being sprinkled or doused is the salvation act, is being baptized in both. And I was raised Lutheran. But you know, if you look at this, part of this event is special to me because Jesus told the thief he would be with him in paradise that day. And he would be with him that day without being baptized. And if there wasn't a clear picture of what salvation is and how baptism, contrary to popular religious belief, is not required for eternal life. So that's part of it. The second part is the thief was being put to death for his criminal past. A life that might have been a habitual trend of sin. I mean, he didn't end up on the cross because he stole one loaf of bread, right? This is a life potential of crime and sin run wild in his life. And he was being put to death for it. But, I like buts sometimes. This is a good one. But Jesus said he would be with him in paradise that day. And do you realize that was at the last moment of the thief's life? So there was a hope and an opportunity to be saved and receive eternal life, even though this thief was in the very last moments of his life before death. And you know, we talk about how people can live such a sinful life, but they can be saved, even in the moment of a deathbed. And that's part of the magic of it all, is it not? That you don't have to live a good life. You can't live a good life. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. It's granted to you. It's the grace and mercy of God. And you can have it at the very last moment of your life. So never give up on anyone. So those are two great pieces to that event. I like those, to wrap those in. But here's one more I want to add to this that I like. There's one more to add to the reasons why I like this passage, very special to me, is because of pure, complete grace. And we talked about grace being something that you get that you did not deserve. Jesus showed grace to the thief in the very last moment of that thief's life. Jesus gave to the thief a confirmation that he would see him in paradise. Jesus gave to the thief a peace that he would be with him and that he would not suffer an eternal death. And also Jesus gave to him an eternal life that he did not deserve, did not have coming. But it was given to him nonetheless, and Jesus showed the thief love while Jesus himself hung on the cross, gave grace. So if Christ can give grace to the thief, hanging on a cross, struggling to breathe, and dying himself, and we're showered upon us with tons of grace, and that's where I think about grace. We always think of grace as what we receive. We think of grace coming from God being showered upon us. We think of all the grace we're given and mercy, but a lot of the grace. But, you know, the main thought of what I wanted to speak tonight is that the Bible defines grace as the unmerited, undeserved favor of God towards humanity, right? And that's the way we look at it. Grace is about me a lot of times, right? It's a me society. I get the grace. I get, oh, man, it's like I was speeding down the highway and they didn't pull me over. Man, that was good. You know, I got away with something. We're looking to what we get. And honestly, we all are told about grace of God, and we enjoy that. But have we not been given that grace beyond measure? I mean, it is an unlimited, boundless supply given to us by God. And did not Jesus at the last moment of the thief's life give to him an unmerited, unmeasurable grace at the very end? What shall we do then with the grace we are given when we have much yet of our life to live? I mean, we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know we're not hanging on a cross like the thief. We know our time is not limited. We have time. What are we going to do with all the grace that we have? And if you remember what I said up front, I called this grace, pay it forward. And if you remember some years back, there was a big kind of social movement of pay it forward, meant to give something that you received and pass it on. Pay it forward. Give it to somebody else. You've received, now give it away. Pay it forward. And I don't think we think of grace that way enough. And I haven't. But I'm very thankful that my wife has been there to say, When I get wrapped up, when I get a little bit out of my emotion, I hear that, have grace. Just have grace. And what she's saying is, give them something they don't deserve and have compassion. Love them. Be kind. Give someone your unmerited, undeserved favor. And then as a result, give your love to a neighbor. And heck, you can give your love to a stranger just having grace. Just giving them what they don't deserve. Which is easy as being patient, kind. So the Bible says that grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God toward humanity. But pay it forward says that grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor you and I give towards our neighbor. A love that is beyond our ability and our own strength. Grace. Have grace. And pay it forward. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the word you've given us. We thank you for the example that you give us. And we just pray, Lord, that of all the grace and the mercy that we were given, that we would return that, pay it forward, and provide that to our neighbors, strangers, and in doing so, we would show them the love that you have shown us when we were unlovable, that we would have compassion, and we would care for those that come into our lives and don't even, we may not even know them, but let us have grace for them, that they would understand your unmerited love towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.